Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. You know what today is? Today is the greatest day of your life. You believe it? Lift your voice and shout, yeah! I'm going to ask you to do one thing today, just one thing. Well, maybe a lot of things throughout, but one thing right now. Dig a little deeper. Can you do that? Reach a little higher. And I'll let you sit down. Dig a little deeper. Say, I'm going to dig a little deeper. Welcome to everyone in the house. So great to have you. Have a dear, dear friend, Hope, here that we've known again for ever many years. Love you. So great to see you. Haven't seen her in a long time. Just a dear friend, been with the ministry for many years. Done a lot of things. Timothy's mama. And just so great to have you, Hope, in the house. Been way too long. Welcome to everyone, all our dear friends and family in the house. Robert, so awesome to see you. Have your son up here worship. Man, what a powerful. I mean, I know there was that, you felt that moment where it just felt like we were just hanging there. John, anointing, powerful worship. What a great season. Steve, you're up again and again. This man, telling you, this man, he's not only a script writer, but this guy has an anointing on his life and he can communicate the word. I sat there with my mouth open listening to you and just really touched me. And just so great to have everyone in the house. Anton, welcome back from San Francisco. We sure missed you. What a beautiful day. You all just look like you're alive today. And I love that. God loves that. Welcome to our dear friends in Jerusalem. This is the greatest season of your life. Heaven has opened up and going to pour out incredible, majestic things in your life. A door of wonder unlike you have known. You saw it by faith, but you're going to touch the soil of that day with your feet. And you're going to stretch your hands out in that day and say, God did bring it to pass. We did get to live in this day. This is an incredible season, unlike any other. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that. And we get, my wife said to me today, I'm so thankful that we get to go to the house of the Lord and just worship. She says it all the time. She says, I just love to worship. How awesome to have a wife that talks like that, that has a heart for that. And after 40 years, actually 42 years of listening to me preach, still is excited about me being able to stand up here. Only God can do that. So I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you to just go all in. All in. All in or nothing. So we just dig a little deeper, reach a little higher, and you know what's going to happen? Dig a little deeper. Reach a little higher. Spirit of the Lord going to set your soul on fire. Fire. Dig a little deeper. Going to reach a little higher. I know the Spirit of my God will set my soul on fire. Come on. Dig a little deeper. Gonna reach a little higher. The Spirit of the Lord gonna set my soul on fire. On fire, on fire. Make that a prophetic word in your own life today. Say, I commit to digging a little deeper. I confess with my mouth, I'm going to reach a little higher. And I know by the faithfulness of God, He's going to set my soul on fire. And the Word says when the Spirit of the Lord came on them on the day of Pentecost, a fire from the Spirit of God lit upon them, and it looked like a cloven tongue of fire. And they all began to speak in different languages. But it's all God's language anyway. It's just like God is all time, all the time. But this is what's wonderful. The Word says that they all men, there were people from every corner of the earth, all nations were there. And the Word says we all hear them speaking in our language. And there were more languages than there were people speaking, which means God is going to do what He does, all things good, because God is good. And the Word says, this is what I love, Scripture say, they are speaking the wonders of God. And I want to tell you today, if you'll just set your mind on Him and only Him, set your mind on Him and only Him, you'll be able to dig a little deeper, reach a little higher, and the Spirit of the Lord set your soul on fire. And when He does, you're going to find there's more to you than you ever knew, because the Spirit of the Lord is working through you. One more time, all right? Dig a little deeper. I'm going to reach a little higher. Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to set my soul on fire. Come on, prophesy. I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to reach a little higher. Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to set my soul on fire. One more time. I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to reach a little higher. Spirit of the Lord, gonna set my soul on fire, on fire. If you believe it, shout, yeah! You can take your seats this morning. Give the Lord a shout of praise. What an incredible day. You know, there's so many things that seem so diversified, so separated, and there are a lot of things going on in the world. But I want to say this to you. It really isn't a new thing. Things are going on and have been going on since the beginning of time. A lot of different things. The specialness of this time isn't what you think or how in trouble you think the world is, but the specialness of this time is that you know how good God is. I mean, really know how good God is. And that after whatever time you've known the Lord, that you've matured in Him. And as a conveyor of the gospel, and what I convey, what I'm anointed to convey is good news. That's why in this house, we only talk about what God's wanting to do. We don't care about what's His name wants to do. We don't care about the bad. There's bad, there's evil. There's always been bad, evil, and dark. And you can either set your mind on that, or you can do what the Word says, set your mind on things above. And what things soever are good, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, set your mind on these things, because we all know that we live within the framework of our minds. And Steve was talking earlier today, and one of the things he said is, you know, we believe, and we've all believed for something to take place, something, whatever it was. And believing for things is certainly not wrong. But sometimes there are those that believe when it's necessary, and there are those that believe it's necessary to believe. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we believe, or some believe, when it's necessary to believe. And then there are others that believe it's necessary to believe. And as Steve was saying, what is belief? I mean, if you believe for something and it doesn't happen, does that mean you believed wrong, or you missed it, or God just didn't want it, or you weren't good enough, or whatever it was? Jesus said something one time when He spoke to a tree and it withered and died, and they said, this is just outside the realm of norm. And Jesus made this statement, very powerful, very profound, and He said, have faith in God. Now, He didn't say, have faith that something like that will happen. The disciples were inquiring as to how this was able to take place because He said a word. And Jesus was not saying to them, if you believe in God, you can make the tree die, or you can make it grow. He wasn't saying that. His response was, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Because the reality is Jesus said, only just believe. And here's where the power in believing is. God always answers us, always, when we pray according to His will. That's what the Scriptures tell us, and so that's reality to us. God always answers you. We all know it may not, sometimes we say it hasn't happened yet. How do you know what you asked for, whether or not it's happened yet? When He said, I'm going to do things beyond what you know to ask or think. Is it possible sometimes we're just looking for one thing when God is doing something else all around the thing? And it's really about us embodying believing God. It's the embodiment of believing is what we're about. The things that are temporary couldn't possibly substantiate whether or not we believe God, because God is eternal. So because you're believing for your house and you get it, that doesn't define your faith. What defines your faith in God is that you are a believer and not just that you believe. Some find it necessary to believe when it's necessary for something to happen. Others just find it necessary to believe because that's who we are. We are believers. And if God wanted to do it a different way, He would have done it. And again, if heaven was everything that God wanted, He would never have created the earth. And heaven's a pretty incredible place. I mean, I've never been there, but I've heard about it. And I felt it. And it's pretty incredible. I just know, because I'm a believer. I used to believe, and then I became a believer that just found it necessary to always believe. That's what I am. And I don't need God to do something, so I believe, because before I needed something done, He already did it. And what He did was what I needed more than anything. He revealed why He created me. And He did it by saving me. And He did it by saving you. And really, there is no greater measure of the impact of your faith than to know that you know to believe God without thinking God is gold or silver or things. And things are wonderful and things happen. But He said this. He said, this is where the power comes from. Be a believer in God. Don't just believe God when you need to believe Him for something you can't do. But find an occasion to always believe. And belief is what we embody, that as He is, so are we in the earth. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you. And it's important to hear what He has to say. Would you agree? You can say amen right there. Thank you. And if it's important to hear what He has to say, why? Because what He has to say to us is a seed that grows on the inside of us. And if all the host of heaven was all that He wanted, and I've read that it's pretty incredible, He wouldn't have made you and me. And He wouldn't have created us in the fashion in which He did. And how did He create us? Totally and completely dependent upon faith in who He is without seeing Him. Because if we do, then our faith is void. And the power of faith is that we come and become the embodiment of who Jesus is. As He said, I in you and you in me, because you can't do anything outside of me of purpose and promise and power. So here's a big question. If the devil can't touch us, and the Word tells us that he can't, and the Word says that the wicked one does not touch you, 1,000 could fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand and it wouldn't come nigh you. Only with your eyes would you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And then Galatians 8:28 says, all things work together for good. All things, not most things, not the things you think are good, but all things, whether they look good or bad. Sometimes we rebuke God because it looks dark or it looks bad because it's not what we assigned God to do for us. Or someone's doing something that is bad, and then we doubt what God said and don't believe that all things are going to work together for good. David would never have done what he did had he not had an experience with his belief and said, I know he's bigger, I know he's badder, I know he's stronger, I know he has a lot more people that are not afraid to fight against us, and all our army is terrified, and the king is back there hiding in his tent, but I believe God. And I have an experience that tells me that if I embody my God by faith and belief in him, there is no army that can stand against, not me, but against God. And I embody the fullness of God. That's what belief is all about. God made you so he could share and reveal who he is, because aspects of God can only be revealed, certain aspects can only be revealed by faith. And the earth, which people will tell you is imperfect, which is not true. The earth is perfect. God made it perfect for his design. And that design is that we have to believe by faith. And he said, herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and you do it because you believe. And the word says, only by faith can you please him. Now, how would you please God? You believe something, he goes, I like you so much because you believed me. Thank you for believing me. You made me happy because you believe me, and that makes me happy with you. No, why would God be happy? Why would it please him if we have faith in him? Remember, he told Thomas, he said, Thomas, you believe, but it's not that you believe, it's how you came to believe. You came to believe because you saw what you were looking for. But he said, blessed are those who did not see what they were looking for, but yet believed. Blessed are those. You're blessed. And without faith, it's impossible to believe him. Because them, those that are born of him must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So then if it's not the devil that's messing with you because God watches over you, and some people would debate that and say, well, it is. Well, I believe the scriptures that says no weapon formed against us can prosper. I just believe that. Yeah, but what about, no, that's not what about. Let's stay single-minded. Let's see God be glorified here, just like David did. He could have said, you're big, you're bad, I'm not a warrior, I think this is going to go south, so I'm going to go ahead and leave it up to the king because he's anointed to do this. But what David says is, he said, how can you allow these men to defy the armies of God? Not the armies of man, but the armies of God. And God stands with you today. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but in fact, every single thing that comes into your life, not talking about things you just deliberately walk into in disobedience, but what comes into your life, God said, I will use it in two fashions. Number one, I'll do something incredible in you that only faith in me in those times can do, and I'm going to take this situation and I'm going to make it worship me. It will have to bow down. It will have to worship me. It will have to serve me because you believe me. Because you believe me. That's the generation that Jesus talked about when he said that it is time for us to come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the full knowledge of Christ. That's a big word. The full knowledge of Christ. And that's what he called maturity. So what then pleases God when we believe? That he can reveal what he created us for. That he can reveal himself in us. That he can reveal himself in you in such a way that can only be done where seed grows. He said, my word is a seed. And the earth is the only place that seeds grow. It has to grow in the soil. It doesn't grow in the air. It grows right here. Seeds grow in the earth. My daughter, we were sitting at lunch just the other day, and she looked up at a tree and she said, just from a seed. And I said, how could you possibly doubt the wonder of God? But it's not just what it did, it's what it is. God said, I'm putting seed in the genesis of time in the earth, and it's going to produce all of this stuff. A seed doesn't have the color of a tree, certainly not the leaves, or if it has fruit. There's nothing identifiable about the seed that would ever tell you that it would turn into
a tree.
Nothing. Not anything. And I found, I think our ground at our home is just blessed. I just believe it is. I just believe our soil is blessed because everything we plant in it just grows. And it grows like crazy. I mean, one tree turns into two trees. We've had all kinds of things happen. And I know that happens at times, but it happened in my yard after I got under a tree and prayed, and then one tree turned into two trees. I can say whatever you want to say. And it didn't turn into an average tree. It turned into a tree that you can't hardly find anywhere. And I just believe. Now, you can say, yeah, it could have been anything, but it's not important what it was. What's important is what I believe. Because when we are believers, we find it necessary to be exactly that. We just find it necessary to believe, because when you embody faith in God, God embodies you by faith. God is revealed by faith. So then, what's going on with all? I mean, we've all faced. Anyone ever faced a trial? Do you know what that is, or should I explain what a trial is? Does anyone not know what a trial is? Okay, then I won't even waste any time. But the word said, "Count it all joy." In other words, get excited, and that's a different mentality altogether, right? Who was this man, and why was he saying that? What was wrong with him? Count it all joy. In other words, get excited when you fall into the different. Now, what he actually said was not hard times. He said the trying of your faith. When your faith's called on, get excited about it. Because he knew, he said, what is about to happen is God's about to make you so stable, you're about to become a believer and not just someone that believes. A believer does what God says because we don't find any other way. There's just anything else to do. When we believe God, we believe he embodies us by our faith in him. How incredible that God demonstrates all around us every day in the earth that we live in, that things turn out so huge, so far beyond what they look like when they're sown in the ground, that it staggers the imagination to think that things can come out of, you put a little tiny seed in the ground. You ever eaten just a little seed, tomato seed, for instance? You eat it and it tastes nothing like it, and you could say, I don't see it. And that's what we do a lot of times. I don't see it. I mean, I've had this seed. God said it was going to turn into something. I've been holding it. I've mashed it into my fingers. I've prayed. I've stepped on it. I've stood on it. I put it on my head, stood on my head. I've done everything that I possibly know. But it's not about any of that. It's not about what you see that you want. It's about what God shows you that you don't know to look for. It's about what God designed you to be, and he said exceeding, abundant, beyond anything you'll ever know to ask or think. So if your faith is dependent on what you asked me to do and you didn't see that, you missed the whole point of faith. Faith is God manifest in you in ways you couldn't imagine, because God is so God. He's exceeding, abundant, and beyond all the imagination that we could have. And he said, but when you come into maturity, he said, then you're going to understand the fullness of Christ. And what is maturity? Maturity is the ability to take dominion in the earth. Remember, when God created man in the Genesis of time, he said, I'm going to make him in my image and create him in my likeness. And I'm giving him the earth to take dominion over. I want him to subdue, which means contend over, rule over, or if you will, wrestle with. Now, it's really important to know what we're wrestling with when wrestling comes into play. And as well-versed believers, most of us, when we wrestle, we throw it over to, it has to be who? Diablo. Has to be the devil. It has to be. I mean, because the word says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness, highest places, and all that. So it has to be. It would have to be. And what else could it be? But then the question begs, then, but if Christ defeated him and no weapon formed, then I'm confused. Then how could I be contending against something that the word tells me has no power? And not only that, that tells me we can't dwell in the same place at the same time. So then, what are we wrestling against? God told Adam what to do in the beginning, and had he done it, the world would have turned out different. But it didn't matter, because God said, before man can mess up, Jesus is set in position to redeem you back to my purpose, because my purpose is greater than your mistake will ever be. There isn't a mistake. It doesn't mean you continue in mistake. That's not faith in God. That's doubt in him, faith in you. But the word says his purpose was predestined before the world was formed. David said, in my mother's womb, you knew me. You knew all my members. You knew exactly what I was about. But those that find it necessary at times to believe miss the power of being a believer. I don't just believe when I need it. I believe I need to believe. And that gives me life. So God said, Adam, Eve, I'm giving you, and he announced to the heavens. See, God shared his imagination, and he brought it to light. And God thought, and God said, we're going to create man in our image and in our likeness. In the image of God created he them, both male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And then God looked at the earth, and he blessed the earth. Now, it's important to hear what I'm saying today, because this is the future forward for all those that are willing to mature to the fullness of Christ. It's important to you. This house is about those that will to mature. Different homes, different houses, or different things. But this house is about maturing. It's about growing. It's about doing what God said. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It can't be a place, because if it were a place, he wouldn't say, don't look there or here. So it can't be a place. Kingdom of God is the mind of God. The foundation of any kingdom is the mind of the king. It has to be. Because as you think, that's who you are and that's what you do. The mind of God. That's why the word says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It surrendered himself to the mind of God. That's the kingdom. So like Jesus said, if they tell you the kingdom is here or the kingdom is there, he said, don't believe it, because it's not true. He said, the kingdom of God is right here, me, and right here, you. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, we have to hear what he said. The word says the only time that an enemy or the enemy steals the seed, the only time, is when a word of the kingdom is preached and it isn't understood, which means you relinquish that seed because you don't see value in it. You relinquish it. God has given us power over all power. Doesn't mean to wrestle over it, but what he told us, the word subdue means to bring into submission. We've been wrestling the wrong thing. We've been wrestling the dark instead of bringing the earth into submission. That's what he said. Listen to what he said. He told Adam, I want you to take dominion over every creature that moves upon the face of the earth, whether it walks, whether it crawls, whether it flies, or whether it swims. That's what I want you to do. I want you to take dominion over the earth, and the earth is a very, very powerful place. God made it so. And when he made it, the word says, he looked at it and said, it is perfect. It is good. But now the purpose of man in this place called earth is that he obeys me by simply not just believing in me, but he has to believe me. There's a difference in believing in God and believing God. You will not sin against God unless you doubt him first. You have to doubt God first before you sin against him. You have to doubt him first. You have a word, you know the truth. There's no power that can make you or force you or drive you into disobeying God. As a matter of fact, there's no power set to do that. We have to give power over to some region in our lives that is susceptible to darkness. In other words, you have to walk out of the light in order to walk into the darkness. There's no other way. And light and dark, what? They can't dwell together at the same place at the same time. So we know that. So here's the point. We're fighting the wrong battle oftentimes, fighting the wrong battle, and wonder why we're not getting the right results. God said, I want you to have dominion in the earth. Think about if Adam had obeyed God. He didn't miss it because he touched the tree. He missed it because he didn't make the serpent submissive to the will of God. The word says the serpent was the most cunning creature that the Lord God formed in the garden. Do you remember reading that? And the serpent was the most subtle or cunning creature that the Lord God made. Now, if we want to see the transition in our lives, no, it's not about looking at the transition. It's about what Jesus said. I want you to embody me. I want you to embody faith in the Father. I want you to be a believer. There's more that God wants to do. Jesus said it. He said, there's many things that I want to say to you, but he said, you're too busy in contending. You're too busy fighting. Remember what God said to Solomon. He said, you can't, or to David, he said, you can't build my house because you've spent too much time fighting. I need you to believe. He said, I'm going to give you a son. His name will be Solomon, and I'm going to give him rest on every hand. I've preached this a million times. Well, not quite, but quite a few. And the word says that Solomon stood up one day and said, God has given me rest on every side. I have neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Old King James. Therefore, and because of that, I can build the house of the Lord. I put before you, we're not losing a battle because there's evil out there, or because we're having to contend against evil, or we're not contending enough against it. We lose the battle when we don't take dominion over the earth by being believers that God has given us all victory at all times, in all situations. Every place, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. Not he was the beginning. He is the beginning. He can't change. He's all time at all times. He is your future right here, right now. As Steve said again, there is no time. People say, well, there's no time like the present. No, there's no time but the present. Well, God's all you need. No, he's not all you need. He's all there is. He is everything and beyond. And we doubt because we don't see the insignificant of our prayers come to pass. Don't you remember? He said, I already know what you have need of. If you would seek the kingdom of God, I'll show you things you don't know you have. I'll reveal things to you you don't know that you need. Because it really isn't about us being satisfied because he answers us. It's about us being satisfied because he is the answer. That I know to call on him every day makes me bow to my knee. And God, I really appreciated everyone getting on their knees, or those that could or did, because God said this to me years ago. He said, if you drive yourself to your knees, you won't be driven to your knees. So I make it a point to every single day I strive to drive myself to my knees because I'm a believer. What do you mean? Well, God said it to me. How do you know? Because I'm a believer. And I know he talks to me. Some may say, well, you're crazy because how can you hear him? And I'd say, well, maybe something's not quite right with your ears, because how can you not? Of course you hear him. Here you are, because he brought you here. You wouldn't have known to worship him. It doesn't make sense to worship God. It's not reasonable to praise him, because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. So the fact that we're here worshiping God and it doesn't make sense, but we're excited about it and we know that it's more real than our consciousness, tells me God spoke to you, because here you are doing what doesn't make sense and it's working. It changes you. It transforms you. It bears the fruit of who he is in us. It exceeds what is possible and takes us into exceedingly abundantly and above what you think is possible or should be done. Sometimes you're blessed when your faith is being tried and you think you're being fought by the devil, but you're really being announced by heaven that God is pouring out a blessing of favor by causing you to do what he created us to do. Be believers. 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 Had Adam said to the serpent, bow down and worship God, submit to me, because the word surrender or submission or subdue means bring it under your power. God told Adam, take that serpent. And I know people say that was the devil. And I understand in Revelations, it says that old serpent, which was the devil. But there's something here, because the word says the serpent God formed out of the dust of the earth in the garden, and he blessed it. He didn't make the devil in the garden and bless him, right? Just the scriptures. Forget religion. Forget what you've been told. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Because this is really important. The serpent is really important. The serpent wasn't a curse to Adam. God blessed it. Because God said the serpent and the tree are kind of one. Because the tree of life keeps you alive, but the tree of knowledge, not the tree of fruit of evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of evil? The moment that you disobey me, you're going to know that you did, and that's evil. That's evil. So the word says the serpent said to the woman, you can eat this tree. And she said, God said, we can. At that point in time, it's where you just believe God and say, and when he says, yeah, you can, you say, bow down and worship God. That's what we do. Every situation, you say, bow down and worship God. You don't say, God, make this happen. You just take dominion in the earth. Bring it under your power. Your power of what? I'm a believer. You have to do the will of God. The word says all things have to work together for my good, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I could see 1,000 at one hand of enemies and 10,000 at the other. It wouldn't come nigh me, so why would I meditate or be worried on it? He said, set my mind on things above. He said, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Devil can't be there. Evil can't be there. Dark can't be there. He is the light. He made me the light of the world. You see the singleness of mind he's called us to be? You're not fighting against the devil if you're born again, blood-bought believer. You're struggling and contending against the earth, because that's our initial design, to bring it under submission. In that is the blessing of the Lord. Every time they walk past the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it strengthened them. I don't know how many times the serpent suggested something that wasn't God, but every time they didn't believe him and didn't oppose God, it strengthened them. That's what James was saying. Get excited when your faith is tried. It's strengthening you, so you become mature and come into the fullness of the knowledge of your faith, and you're one of those people, you'll just always remain. You'll be like a tree planted by the water. You'll never be moved, and you'll always produce fruit in any season, COVID or no. But if you're fighting God, calling it the devil because you don't like it, because your daughter isn't saved or your son isn't saved, of course that's not the will of God. But you have to take dominion over the earth. What does that mean? You become a living witness of the peace of God. Let them see the fullness of joy and faith and wisdom and trust in you that draws them instead of just finger preaching them into salvation. Let God do it. You can't do it anyway. We already know that. We've been down that road. Principalities, what are those? The word makes it very plain. It's the thoughts and the imagination of your mind that oppose the will of God. The serpent opposed the will of God, so he sounded like the devil. He sounded just like the devil. Just like Peter opposed the will of God and Jesus called him the devil. He wasn't the devil. Jesus loved him. But Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Why? Principalities, rulers of darkness, the image of your mind that opposes the will of the Father is speaking through you, and you sound just like the devil. He told people on a couple of occasions, you are demons. Well, we know they weren't demons, but they sounded like demons. The serpent sounded like the devil because he opposed and denied God. When you walk in opposition to God, that's evil. No one's doing it to you. You're believing into it. All right, I will. The real victory is in the victory. And this is the victory. This is what the word says. This is the victory, not that overcomes every lying demon spirit. Jesus, I just believe Jesus did that for me. And he did it when he freed my consciousness of the idea that he had anything to say about me. That was my big deliverance day. Over 40 years ago, God said, you don't have to worry about that. I took care of it. Remember when I told the disciples? I already handled it. Know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Set your mind on things above. Don't fall under condemnation. Don't fall under condemnation. The word's talking about those that are ministering the word. And he says he must be a recent convert or believer, and warn him so he doesn't get puffed up and fall into the condemnation of the devil. 1 Timothy, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 6. Watch that you don't fall under the condemnation of the devil. I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to explain it. Watch that you don't fall under the condemnation of the devil. The devil only has one thing to share. He's condemned. He's judged. That's why he's called an accuser of the brothers. Because he only has one thing to share. He only has one thing about him. He's judged. He's condemned. He's an opposer. Now, he can't come and make you do any of those things. But if you walk in opposition to the will of God, you make the soil of your heart a soil of condemnation, just like Adam. What killed Adam wasn't the fruit. God made the fruit. He said, it's good. Everything I've made is good. But I'm telling you not to touch it, because there has to be something you overcome in order for you to be an overcomer. I'm an overcomer of what? Well, I overcame the devil. No, you didn't. There's not a scripture in the Bible that'll ever tell you that, because you didn't. You can't. Jesus did for you. You can cast him out if he's in someone, but don't cast him out of someone that he's not in just because they need to take dominion over this. Take dominion over this by the blood of the Lamb, the Word of God. How? I worship him. I love being on our knees. Talk about spiritual warfare. We did it all morning. And we didn't bring up the devil one time. We glorified God. When light comes, dark flees. When truth comes, lies cannot prevail. Don't talk about a lie. Talk about the truth. Talk about the truth. Don't talk about the light. Talk about the dark. Because this is what our call is, y'all. We're here to take dominion in the earth. That was our initial design, and God never changed it. Had Adam said, serpent, worship God, that serpent would have sounded more like God instead of sounding like the devil. But God commanded him. He said, take dominion and subdue every creature in this garden. That's your call. Do that. If you do, they'll help you maintain the garden. Take dominion over the earth. What is that? My mind. Principalities, rulers of darkness, high places. The word calls them high, lofty thoughts. This is what it calls a principality. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He said, bring that into captivity. Every thought in your mind that exalts itself against God, what is that? Well, I can do it without him. You shouldn't want to. If you can do it on your own and don't need him to do it, you shouldn't do it. If you don't need faith to do it, you shouldn't do it. And whatever you do, you need to realize I'm doing this because he's given me the faith and the power to do it. I love what John said. He said, Jesus said, you can't do anything at all. John said, I can't do anything at all. No one can do anything at all unless it's given to him. That's how a believer talks. I'm doing what I'm doing because God gave it to me. Do you know I and the Father were one, just like the Father and the Son are one? That's what Jesus, one of his last prayers, he said, Father, make them one as you and I are one. God made us so we could look like God, so we could embody what belief was, so heaven could see what God looked like in faith, because heaven can't see God in faith because they don't need it. They have eyes to see. How glorious that is. How wondrous that is. But they look at us and say, they have faith to see him in ways no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. But this creation, what is this? That you were mindful of him. And the sons of men, that you visit him, you crown them with glory. What are they? Show us why they are. So God said, it's not given to those who have deaf ears, but to those that have a heart to hear, it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And the mystery is Christ. Not just knowing that he died, not just knowing that he is Christ. The word says the demons know fear and tremble, but it doesn't do anything for them. It doesn't bring any change. But to know that the kingdom of God really not just resides, but presides in you. And if we'll fight the right battle, we win. This is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith. You don't have to tell the devil what a liar he is or what a this here. The word just said he lives in the prison of condemnation. He knows that. Don't share it with him. Talk about God. Set your mind on me. I love David. He said, I put your word before me always. I meditate upon your law day and night. Doesn't mean he just sat there and kept thinking about it. It meant it permeated his being. His mind was, as the Father says. Jesus said, the Father's given me all things. And he said, and I'm sharing that with you because you're creation of faith. Because only by faith can God be revealed in his fullness as he wills. God can do anything, and he did. He made you and I. And then he sent his Son, his only begotten Son. Why would God do that? When a third of the angels fell, not a one of them got saved. Why? You can't. Because you've seen him with your eyes. We know that when they cried out and say, we know who you are, we've seen you before. Then you can't get saved. But blessed are those who cannot see with their eyes, but believe with their spirit. That's the great gift of this perfect world. This world is so perfect because it is strong and it resists you on purpose because God made it that way. And when you scream at the devil because of it, you miss the glory of it all. Take dominion over your mind, over the earth. And the earth will bow before the living God. You notice how powerful it is when John up here, just a little guitar playing, singing. You can feel the room just bow before the presence of the Lord. There's not a devil around that can stand in the presence of that. How awesome that people come in and we sing and worship, and if they're possessed with demons because they disbelieve God and oppose him, that we don't even have to bring up his name, just singing and worshiping. It flees, they're set free. Like I was when I was 12 years, 11 years old, and said, I don't know what happened to me. Nobody told me what happened, but something happened. No one explained anything to me. Spirit of God came and got me. There was a presence in the house. Presence of the Lord came, got me, drew me to the altar. I was as ignorant about God and the altar as you could possibly be. I was a Catholic and poor at that. He doesn't need an explanation because he's beyond explaining. If we embody, it's just important that I'm a believer. It's not important what I see. What's important is what he shows me. Thomas, what do you want? I want to see the holes in your hand. I want to see the hole in your side. I want to see the hole in your feet so I can believe you. I mean, sounds like if that's what he needed to believe Christ, should be okay, right? Because he believed then. No. You're no different than a third of the angels that fell because you need to see me. The whole point of this world is that you don't see me. And yet somehow, miraculously, you're moved to think like me, to be filled with me, my presence, my spirit, to be more than a conqueror, that the earth begins to bless you. That's why we continually say we're going to pull on heaven, and heaven's either coming down or we're going up, but one way or another, we're meeting in the middle. We're meeting somewhere. That's why we say to you all the time, what day is this? This is the greatest day of your life. And when we pray, what do we say? Something great is going to happen today. Because it's not about what I see that I want to see. It's about what he shows me that he wants me to see. That's what he wants for you. This is the greatest season of our lives because we know that it is. The woman wasn't healed because she just ran into the crowd. She was healed because she took dominion over the principalities, the rulers of darkness in her mind that said, you're broke, you're poor, you're going to die. And the doctors, there's not a human being on the planet that can do anything to stop you, and you know that. And even if there was, you couldn't afford him any longer. You have nothing. But the word says she took dominion over the earth. And she said, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. No one taught her. She was the leader. She was the forerunner. And then everybody started doing it. She said, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Well, explain to me how that's going to work. She said, when I do, I'm going to be made whole. And the presence of the Lord ran into her. Jesus turned and said, someone literally drew virtue out of me. That's what we do when we grab this rope. We're believing the same thing. The kingdom of God is this close. We pull on heaven, and heaven's going to come down. Jesus said, whatever you release from the earth will come out of heaven. God wants to bless you out of his kingdom. He wants exactly what he said. He said, this is how I want you to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be manifest in the earth like it is in heaven. Why? Because when it takes place here, it looks different than it does up there. It's all God, and it's all good. But this is a world of faith. I've had some wrestles. I've contended, but I know in whom I have believed, and I know what battle I'm fighting. And it has nothing to do with any spirit except the spirit of my mind. Paul says this, he said, I die daily. He said, the things that I would do, I couldn't do. And the thing that I wanted to do, I could not do. And some people stop right there. It's like the word says, we're only human. It never said that. It said everything but that. It said we are born of God. That which is born of spirit is spirit. How many are born again? So you're spirit. That's what the word says. We sometimes let religion teach us instead of letting God tell us. We're in a perfect place with a perfect order, with God's perfect will in our lives. And when we pull on heaven, we do what God said. You let your kingdom be manifest in this earth. But Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Well, I'm just a sinner. Well, you need to get saved because the word says no sinner will inherit the kingdom of God. See all those little things we say, not realizing how we oppose the word of God, and we become double-minded, and then we wonder where the war comes from. Let's teach the good news. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel. What is it? Good tidings. To set at liberty those that are in bondage. How? Open the door of freedom. Overcome the world with your faith. And to preach, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Do you know that's what we're called to preach? That's what the gospel actually is? I don't believe there's a battle I could possibly win that Christ paid for, or he wouldn't have done it. He said, if there had been a law given where you could have done it, I'd have given it to you. But he said, you couldn't, because you got to come through me, because the whole point is I want to share who I am with you. Because God is love, and love wants to do one thing. It wants to become one with that which it loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Some of you in the audience today, some of you that are viewing, you deal with depression, you deal with anxiety, you find it hard to focus, you find it hard to be still and know that he's God. I'm going to do spiritual warfare with you right now. I take dominion by the word of the living God over that earth that God has made you to be. I command it to surrender to and worship the living and true and only God. We enter into spiritual warfare right now. Us being born of the Spirit, taking dominion in the earth, commanded of God from the Genesis of time, the God in whom is no variation of his judgment or his will or his word, neither is there any shadow of turning, but what he has commanded is eternal and forever. We are given dominion to take it over the earth, to cast down every thought and an imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And once we have done that, then vengeance is taken in the earth and the glory of God is manifest, and the earth has to yield its strength to us. For all of creation stands in expectation for a manifestation of the sons of God, to wit, the glory that is revealed in it. I speak the peace of God, John 14:27. Versed out of the old King James, Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God reign and rule in your heart. Your emotion, your chemistry is the earth. It is in submission to the will of the Father. Be at peace. Be whole. Be well. Be joyful. You are the blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The word said, it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Disciples are teaching one day and they find a group of people that have been saved. And they said, how is it that you have come to believe? You haven't seen him, yet you believe in him. You haven't heard him, yet you love him. And I love this, and this is us. He then said, you are experiencing the end result of your faith. In other words, you didn't see who you believe in. You didn't touch who you believed in. You didn't hear who you believed in, but you believed. And your faith has brought you to your future. You're experiencing, it said, the glorious joy of your salvation. You're experiencing something you haven't seen. Because see, what belief does is something radically incredible. It's physiology. It's spiritualness, it's enlightenment. It brings all the components of everything that makes us us and brings us into the Omega. It brings us into the future. In other words, and he said, you are now experiencing the fullness and the glory of your joy before you've actually seen where it came from, because you believed in whom it came from. That's how powerful your faith is. You can enjoy. What's the point of being blessed, in all honesty? What is so great about it? We feel amazing. We feel happy, right? I mean, you see the hand of God move, something happens. What happens to you at that point? You get excited. You praise. You say, glory to God. Look and see. Did you see that? Did you see what God said? Well, I'm excited because it happened. God said, you can have all that you think is the end all by faith in it all right now. You can feel the joy and the excitement and the glory. So by the time what you're looking for shows up, and probably in a different way than you imagine, something else is already on its way, and you're living in faith, from faith to faith, not from experience to experience, but from faith to faith, as it is written, the just live by faith. We live in that, it said, inexpressible, glorious joy. And you didn't even see it, but you might as well have, because you have all the attributes and all the blessing of it right here, right now, and you're headed for something else before it even shows up, and you're going from faith to faith to faith to faith. But in reality, it did show up. The spirit of the thing, which is the life of the thing, showed up the moment you believed. We are believers. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That means more than just words that are religiously cast around on a platform. You are the seeds of the prophets, sown in the soil of this prophetic time. You are the orchestrated mind of the Father. You're not your own. You don't belong to you. You're already crucified with Him. So you bear no burden of the devil. What is that? His condemnation, that of course he would love to share. But he can't with the redeemed, because we share the cross. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are the forecalled of God. We are the called out by the prophets. We are the seeds of the prophets. We are the prophecies of ages gone by. We are the outpoured on by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? We prophesy. We prophesy. We prophesy. We prophesy. We prophesy. I know the voice of God. I know what He feels like. And when He speaks, even if God says, you're going to wrestle against the earth, I feel good because I know God said it to me. Like David. See, Goliath, he's huge, right? He's strong. He's massive. He's here to bring you into power. Because it's going to take faith. It's going to take being a believer and not just believing God can do it. David said, I know God can do it because I did it with a bear and did it with a lion with my bare hands. But I can't help myself. I'm a believer. I have to approach the earth. That's the earth. That giant is a big tree in the earth, and it's coming down. And I don't have an axe. And you hear what he's saying against me? Slanderous words. He's not the devil, but he sounds just like him. I know he's going down. And he said, whatever you say against me that's negative, it has to be about you, because I already know I'm blessed of the Lord. And he said, this day, what you said about me, you just prophesied you. Because I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's who you are today. You come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And the favor of God is pursuing you to do what we do best. We're all worshipers. The biggest agnostic The biggest atheist is a worshiper. It's just, who do you worship? Because we're driven to worship something. We have to worship. That's what we're made to do. But when we worship Him and Him alone, the Lord is on my side. He is beneath, He is above, He is my left, my right. He is behind me and before me. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord, and where can I flee from His Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the earth, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, there you are. If I go to the furthest corner of the earth, there you are. You will lead me and you will guide me. Where could I possibly go from the presence of the Lord? I never invite God's presence in. He invites me into His presence. He's omnipresent. I just acknowledge Him just like the woman did. He is the life. And life flowed into her and she was healed. You're healed today. But we are doing it single-mindedly. To God be all glory. To God be all praise. To God be all honor. We ascribe all power and all glory to God and God alone. And today, Father, we give you praise. And John, a word for you, and you will live in the day and the tall grass of this day. There is an anointing of revelation, 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 revelation. God put a seed in your heart that is exceeding anyone you know, not any better, but it means you can't find what you're looking for in anything most people are saying, but God has bore a seed in your heart saying revelation of who I am. To know Him better, to know Him more. Out of you will come prophetic song without you trying to prophesy. And you will see people before you. I see you in small crowds and I see you in places that look like there's just a sea of people. I see you in the States doing this. And I see you overseas doing this. An invitation, you go, God does. And you never bring the devil's name up once. And many, 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 many people are freed from his lack of power over their lives. And they acknowledge Jesus as Lord. I saw this once and I say it again. You are the seed of this generation. You are a new voice in the earth. Chosen of God Himself, called out when you saw one way and one another, you hear tears and crying in your own home of fear. And what shall we do? Someone is lost. We're looking for them. And God says to you, prophesy. And you did, and the Lord made it right. The work is not finished, but it has only just begun. This is the greatest season of your life. Two times two times two times two times three times three. He never ends. We never stop learning. And it is in what we think of as learning, which God is with sharing, that we grow in the knowledge of Him and we come into the fullness of us. We are not our own. We belong to Him. We're created by Him, of Him, through Him, and to Him. And to Him is all glory, honor, and praise. This is the greatest season of your lives. A season unlike any other time. And Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. And we worship you. I could prophesy to everyone, but I'm going to ask you to hear the word today. The word I spoke is a word of prophecy. And the word I spoke today is your word of prophecy. I prophesy to you. That's what I do. That's what I'm anointed to do. I prophesy. Hear the word and be free, be changed, be transformed, be translucent before God. I love the prodigal son because he made no excuse. I love what he said when he said,
Father, I've sinned against you. And against heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. How great is God? And he said, this is me. And he said, come. Come in. Come to me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come. I'll put a ring on your finger. I'll put a robe of righteousness on you. Oh, announce you, and I'll rejoice, because that which was lost is found. Jesus is referring to the kingdom. How could we be lost unless we had once first been found? Because we were in the heart of God before we could make an error of judgment, before we could oppose the will of the Father. We have come back to the heart of the Father, through the heart of the Father. We are a seed. The word says we are the planting of the Lord. The power of a seed is it remembers where it came from. And when it dies to itself, it turns into who it came from. And that's who you are. We are the planting of the Lord. And this is the greatest season of your life. This is a time unlike any other. Worship Him. Worship Him. Give the Lord a shout. Pray in the house of God.